Good morning. My name is David, and I'm on the team here at HPC. Do keep your Bible open, and you can follow us with the outline on the service sheet. Let's pray. Our loving Father, please open our spiritual eyes as we listen to your word, and we pray that you would help us see the glory of the heart of the gospel. Amen. Some days should never be forgotten. Some days change the world forever. Some days make us say, "Where were you when that happened? Where were you when Kennedy was shot? When they walked on the moon? When Diana died? Where were you when you heard about 9/11? Or when Britain voted to leave the EU. It was after the Pearl Harbor attacks that Franklin D. Roosevelt, the then president, said this: "Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy." Some days should never be forgotten. And our reading is all about a day that was to be remembered for generations. We're in the Exodus, and as the Israelites are preparing to leave Egypt, God says, "You must remember this. Remember God's rescue for you." And it's in this dramatic point in our story that our passage and story really slows down to explain these festivals: the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Passover, the consecration of the firstborn. They're all given to us to interpret the Exodus. What's it all about? What has God done for us? And it's important for us today to understand these festivals because they help us understand Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says that for Christ, our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. It was Christ himself who chose to die at Passover. Understand these festivals will help us understand the heart of the gospel. Remember God's rescue for you. So have a look down with me at chapter 12, verse 14. Chapter 12, verse 14. "This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you will celebrate it as a festival for the Lord." Israelites, do you know you're about to become part of history? And the festival is in verse 17, the festival of unleavened bread. For 7 days, they would eat bread without yeast. And traditionally, it's not quite like this one, but it's this sort of flatbread that they would have for 7 days. And if you're wondering what this has to do with the Exodus, have a look at verse 39. "With the dough they had brought from Egypt, they baked cakes of unleavened bread. The dough was without yeast because they had been driven out of Egypt and did not have time to prepare food for themselves." They didn't have time for the dough to rise. It said traditionally the bread takes, do you know how long? Just 18 minutes. 18 minutes from the dough being first wet to being taken out of the oven. 18 minutes. And that gives us an idea of how quick this Exodus was. And remember, we're not just talking about packing up and going on holiday. We're talking about take everything and go. You're leaving Egypt and you're not coming back. Remember, you were saved quickly. Remember, you were saved quickly. It's a big pattern in the Bible. When Sodom and Gomorrah fall to God's judgment, God says in Genesis 19 to Lot's family, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back." Looking back, staying in Egypt, it's a picture in the Bible of staying in sin. And so as they took this bread and they ate this bread, they remembered that they had made a swift exit. They didn't belong in sin anymore. And it's at the heart of the gospel. Just as Israel was rescued swiftly from Egypt, Jesus had delivered us from the domain of darkness. Don't look back. There's a story of two toddler boys who grew up in an orphanage in Russia. Until, after living in squalid conditions, a couple flew over to adopt them. And the boys had a new life. And initially, they struggled to settle into this new life. They kept, at dinner time, they would hide their food in their high chairs. Because after all those years in the orphanage, they had not known where their next meal would come from. But that was the old way for them. Now they didn't live in fear of hunger. That was the old way. They didn't need to go back to that. There was a new normal. What does it mean to remember God's rescue for you? Remember you are saved quickly. Remember you are saved quickly. A swift break from sin. So for us, brothers, sisters, we consider ourselves dead to sin. It's the first step as we move forward in becoming like Christ. Consider ourselves dead for sin. I don't know what it was before you were following Jesus. Maybe it was our love of money, whether it be spending or saving. Maybe it was a sinful relationship. Maybe it was our own self-centeredness. We couldn't name anything wrong that we used to do, but we just didn't do much for other people. Maybe only returning a favor here and there. But now we don't belong there. And when we're tempted of going back to Egypt, remember, you were saved quickly. But that was not all. God had more for the diaries of the Israelites. Remember that you were saved quickly. Passover, remember that you were saved through judgment. Remember you were saved through judgment. The final plague was here. And after many warnings and plagues, Pharaoh still wouldn't give in. Verse 29 shows what happened. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Just as Pharaoh had tried to kill the firstborn boys of the Israelites, now retribution had come, every firstborn in Egypt. Pharaoh had tried to do a genocide on Egypt. Pharaoh had tried to do a genocide on Israel, God's firstborn, but now justice had come on him. And verse 26 provides the interpretation of what is going on. It says this, verse 26 in chapter 12. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the house of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our houses when he struck down the Egyptians. This Passover feast, as we saw last week, as the Passover lamb was killed, it was a reminder that God was saving through judgment as judgment passed over, as judgment came over Egypt. And the point is this, Israel were enslaved to a terrible regime. And the only way for them to be rescued was for God to bring justice to his enemies. Judgment, justice, it's a vital part of the gospel. As we read earlier, Jesus has delivered us from the domain of darkness. And that's at the heart of the cross, that on the cross, Jesus defeated the powers of Satan and evil. And so followers of Jesus, brothers and sisters, we are not under the power of darkness anymore. Remember, you were saved through judgment. Ever felt with Jesus. Oh, I just feel stuck. The same old sin over and over again. And it feels like I'm in Groundhog Day. I don't know what it is for you, but our reading shows it doesn't have to be that way. We have been saved from the power of sin, and we will look forward to one day when we will be saved from the presence of sin. We just sang earlier, I am set free, saved from the power of sin, guilt overcome, your spirit at work within. You break the chains of the law, I am released from the burden of sin. Do you believe it? It's not that sin is completely gone now, but there is a new master. And so if you were to put pre-Christian me next to current me, you wouldn't see perfect versus terrible, but you would see a different master and someone more concerned about living for Jesus and growing in Jesus. Remember, you were saved through judgment. But there's more going on in this Passover. There's actually two rescues going on in the Passover, and if we miss either of them, we'll miss the heart of the gospel. God's people experienced a rescue through judgment, as we've just seen, but also God's people experienced a rescue from judgment as well. The Israelites needed saving from judgment as well. And verse 21 shows how they could be saved. Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and the sides of your door frame. Not one of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. And when the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. In the place of the firstborn, the blood of the Passover lamb. It's sometimes called a penal substitution. Penalty swap. The lamb dies instead of the firstborn. And so as the Lord came in judgment, he saw the blood and he passed over. Passover, God passed over the house. It's a picture of the gospel. When Jesus died on the cross as our Passover lamb in our place. And at Salt, our youth group, we were thinking about this. We read this little book called The Cross by Andrew Satch and Steve Jeffrey about how we are saved from judgment. Remember, you are saved from judgment. A penalty swap for us. Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer, put it in these brilliant words. Lord Jesus, you are my righteousness. I am your sin. You took on what was mine. You set on me what was yours. You became what you were not, that I might become what I was not. It's the glory of Jesus that he came as our penalty swap. And sadly, this teaching has come under attack in recent years. To take one example, one big Christian writer, Tom Wright, a couple of years ago, wrote this book, On the Cross, and tries to push away this idea that we are saved from judgment through Jesus taking that penalty. But if we do that, if we push these things aside, we miss the assurance that we can have in the gospel that there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation for those in Jesus. Just as when the angel of the Lord came over and there was no condemnation for those in the houses covered by the blood, there is no condemnation now. And so just think about that amazing reality. Let's just take a moment to consider that. We can have assurance when we meet God that we will stand not condemned, but loved, accepted, welcomed, because Jesus, the Passover Lamb, came to save us from judgment for those who trust in him. Let's say someone asked you tomorrow, are you sure you're going to heaven? I don't know what you'd say. Perhaps we'd splutter out, well, I hope so. But actually, we can be sure about heaven. We can say, yes, I am sure about it, because there's no condemnation in Jesus. It's not arrogant to say that. It's not about saying I'm great, but it's all because of Jesus. We don't have to dread meeting God. We don't have to dread the fact that we might meet God and we haven't tried enough, or perhaps there was some sin that we didn't realize about. No, complete assurance for the future. Assurance for the future, but also assurance now. Sometimes we find people just trying to follow Jesus because of guilt, and it's sad. It's not enjoyable or joyful, and deep down, they hate God. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can have freedom now as we trust in Christ, freedom from condemnation. We don't have to spend our lives worrying where God will strike us. No condemnation. And doesn't that give us a reason to serve Jesus with joy, knowing that he's for us? Remember, you were saved from judgment. Back to the story. The Passover has happened. The plague has come. And verse 31 in chapter 12 shows us what happens next. Have a look with me at chapter 12, verse 31. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go, worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds, as you have said, and go. And they go. They leave with unleavened bread in hand. And there's quite a lot of details in this bit, verse 29 to 42. Lots of promises that God had made that were now coming true. The plundering of Egypt, the 400-year time span that they were going to be there, that was now coming to an end. And if you get a moment, why not have a look, see if you can work out some of the promises that were coming true in those verses, if you want some encouragement to trust in God's promises. But there's one more thing that God wants them to do as they remember this day. Have a look at chapter 13, verse 2. Chapter 13, verse 2, consecrate to me every firstborn male, the first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or animal. This was to be repeated where the firstborn son would be redeemed and a lamb would be killed to redeem every firstborn donkey. And verse 14 to 16 gives us a bit of an interpretation of what this consecration of the firstborn was all about. Verse 14 to 16. In the days come when your sons ask, what does this mean? Say to him, with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both man and animal. This is why I sacrificed to the Lord the first male of my firstborn sons. It's a perpetual reminder that because the firstborn would have been judged but has now been saved, he now belongs to God. He had been saved from judgment for God. God's people remembered that their firstborn had been bought with a price. So our last heading, firstborn, remember you are saved for God. Remember you are saved for God. Now, as we're trying to work out this firstborn ceremony and what it symbolizes, there's three principles for interpreting it. I got this from a very clever Bible college prof. He was a PhD Cambridge guy, and it's three principles for understanding this part of the Bible. You ready? Read it, read it, read it. There is no real substitute just for reading the book of Exodus. And if we do that, we'll notice that in chapter 4:22 earlier, Israel is called God's firstborn son. So as we see this firstborn being consecrated for God, it's a picture of the whole people. You are a people, God's firstborn, who have been bought by the blood. And this helps us understand the gospel of Jesus. When we were helpless, he rescued us. He did it all. He bought us for a price. And this really is the conclusion of everything that we have seen this morning. There's the story of a preacher who was explaining grace to his congregation. And it's the idea, as we've seen, that Jesus has done it all for us. But one woman had a problem with what she was hearing. So she went up to the preacher and had a few questions to ask him. And she was quite worried. So the preacher said, "I asked her what was so scary about unmerited free grace." She replied something like this: "If I was saved by my good works, then there would be a limit to what God could ask of me or put me through. I would be like a taxpayer with rights. I would have done my duty, and now I would deserve a certain quality of life. But if it is really true that I am a sinner saved by sheer grace, at God's infinite cost, then there's nothing that he cannot ask of me." And in many ways, this woman understood what the implications of this rescue. It's the free gift that costs us everything. My time, my money, my dreams, my aspirations, my energy, my youth, my retirement, my holidays, my private life, my public life, my sex life, my relationships, my possessions, my car, my house, my dreams for my children, my dreams for normality, my life choices, all under the lordship of Christ. Remember, you were saved for God. Maybe we're holding things back at the moment for God. Perhaps we say, "Yes, God can have that, but not that. No, we don't touch that." And to us, God says, "Remember, you were saved for God." So as we close, we remember God's rescue. Remember God's rescue for you. Some days should never be forgotten. And it's as we've thought about this day as Israel left in the Exodus, we've seen the heart of the gospel today. And so we remember. We remember. We don't move on to another level, another higher life, but we keep looking back to the cross that these festivals help us understand. And this is a life's work. So let's pray as we close that we would remember. Loving Father, please help us to remember. Remember the things that you have done for us in your great rescue. Please help us when we are tempted to forget, but keep us looking back. Help us to see the glory of the gospel and the amazing works that you did to save us. Amen.